Hey guys, good evening. Just so nice to come and just worship together. I really love the atmosphere here. It's just so, you can just be free and just so enjoy it. So yeah, I'll just get started. So tonight I'm going to share through a psalm as part of the series the church has been doing on the Psalms. And I've just really loved how we've been so encouraged reading through each different psalm. Everyone has brought just a different picture out of the psalm they've chosen, and it's just so neat that it's just interesting to hear how the others have shared on the psalms and how they've really impacted them. So for me, Psalm 34 has been a real anchor for me and a huge source of encouragement and hope. So as I take us through this psalm tonight, I'm going to share part of my life story and how it's for me growing up and without God, and what it was like coming to know him. So it's a story of hope and of overcoming and of victory. I'm going to share quite personally, so get ready. And I just want to say before I go through things that I just in no way want to dishonour any of the people in the stories I share or my family. But the details I'm going to share are to glorify God and what he's done in my life. So just keep that in mind as I'm sharing. The first thing I'm going to do is read right through the psalm, Psalm 34. And then I'm going to take you through my story and just point out some verses as we go. All right? Cool. So Psalm 34, I'll just get my best psalm reading voice on and just read right through. Verse 1 through to 22. So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor woman cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is a man that desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Amazing words, eh? Yeah, I really like that song. Yeah, so I love how the first verses are about praise to God. I love to praise God. My middle name is Kay, which means merry heart or rejoicer. So praise is my middle name. Yeah, how cool. And so I just love those first verses because I just love to praise and to worship God, and that's just really something about me. And as I said, I've got a lot to be thankful for, and my soul, does make its boast in God. So verse 4 just point out, says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So there's fear and then there's terror. Now I would say this would probably be the overarching emotional memory from my childhood. I grew up in a home that wasn't safe. It was a home of physical and verbal abuse. So I was born in the early 70s. My parents initially lived just outside Cambridge. After having a family, they moved into Hamilton. So that's how my life started. I've got an older sister, Carla, and she's a year and a week older than me and my twin sister. So my parents had three babies in a year and a week. So that was pretty intense. Yeah, full on. And so back then in the early 70s, apart from amazing hair and crazy fashion, there was no ultrasound scan. So they only realised we were twins 3 weeks before we were born because our heartbeat was identical, and we were, my mum's like stomach was a really weird shape, but it just, yeah, they just didn't really pick it up that there was two heartbeats till just before we were born. And we were tiny. I was 2 pounds when I was born. Yeah, I know. Look at me now. And my sister was about 3 pounds, so we were like 5 pounds combined. And I really love this. I haven't referenced it, but there's lots of scriptures about not despising small beginnings. And, yeah, this that kind of theme is one I've been really encouraged by. Just a scripture I'll draw attention to in Job 8, verse 6 to 7 at the moment. This has been a real encouraging scripture for me. If you are pure and live with integrity, he will surely rise up and restore you. And though you started with little, you'll end with much. I just want to give a little example of this. I got married in my 30s and I've got one son, Oscar. And I had him in my mid-30s, and he was massive as a baby. So it was like just another, God, just all the way through my life, just kind of encouraged me with, though I didn't have much to begin with, has just, with knowing him and following him, he's just blessed my life abundantly. So that's why the potatoes. I'm just going to give you a little demo of this. Oscar helped me weigh this out today. So this here is 2 pounds worth of potatoes.
This is a baby blanket. You've got to make it really thin. So this is me. Yeah. When I was born.
Tash, little mini girl, really tiny as a newborn. And this is what Oscar was like comparatively. That was Oscar as a newborn compared to me. He was just an absolute tanker, born by cesarean. Yeah. I remember my due date was Sasha's engagement party. Remember that? Your engagement party? I was just massive. Yeah, so that's the difference. And I think, yeah, I mean, we can look at just our small circumstances, you know, and just think, who am I? Or what's, you know, what's going to happen in my life? But God is, he's a God of abundance, you know. And he's just in that small way, that's an example of that in my life. So anyway, I'll carry on. So I was 2 pounds when I was born. And I stayed in the hospital in an incubator for about 6 weeks after I was born. Because just, you know, for care, because I was pretty teeny. And my mum went home with my twin sister. So I didn't really bond with my mum like a baby kind of normally would. I was talking to Laura about this. Is Laura here tonight? No, she's not. Oh, yeah, we were talking about this the other day. So there wasn't that maternal bond formed because of the separation at birth. So there was all kinds of just separation issues and brain development things that if you can ask Laura about, she'll tell you about just some of it. But just those things kind of didn't happen as a baby for me just because of that separation. Back to the main theme. So basically, back then, my parents didn't really get any help with the three young babies born so close together. And their relationship broke down and my dad left when I was about 18 months old. I don't remember when things went bad. It was just life in my home. My mum wasn't well mentally and she was really unpredictable. So my survival techniques were just to stay really quiet and become as invisible as I could. I learned not to have an opinion in case it was wrong. My childhood was marked by isolation. I'd be locked in the laundry all day for just some small thing I did, which I don't ever remember, and I just with no food or water or anything. It was just me in the laundry all day. and rejection and abandonment. We'd go for a drive at the weekend, and then again, because of something I'd done, I didn't even know the car would stop, and I'd just be pushed out, and my parents would just drive off. Like, and sometimes it was dark, and I'd just be like, okay, what do I do now? You know, and then they'd, I don't know, 20 minutes later come back and kind of get me, and nothing would be said, and we'd drive home. Just stuff like that. So you can imagine the battle of my mind and the head traffic, you know. There was physical abuse. I was beaten with a hot jug cord and a leather belt and all of that. My mum actually tried to drown me. And lots of verbal abuse that goes with that. So we didn't really have anyone over to a house growing up. It wasn't one of those kind of homes. And we didn't watch TV or know what really was kind of going on. It was quite isolating. It was a closed house. I did go to an emergency doctor one time. My mum pushed me, my face through a door, and by some miracle, no glass went in my eyes. I just had a cut across my nose that needed stitches, but it was actually amazing. I just think, wow, how did God protected my face then. It was amazing. We did kind of have moments of normalness. Like, I was interested in athletics at school, and I was quite good. I could run really fast. No wonder. And took joke, but it's terrible. Oh, shoot. But I was actually quite good at short distance running. And I went to brownies and stuff like that. But it just meant there was this other kind of secret side to our life. A white, normal, middle class girl growing up in New Zealand with that secret side of your life, it's just kind of, it was a secret. And I didn't think anyone would believe. Although, again, the blessing of God, you know, I'm an identical twin. And my sister and I, like, there's just this understanding between us that we don't even need to use words with, but there's just someone always that was there growing up that knew. How amazing is that? I could have been totally on my own, you know. So it was just really, really cool. Verse 5 of Psalm 34 says, "They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed." So there was a shame because of my childhood, and you guys may know what it likes to feel shame. Can feel shame because of something that we've done that we shouldn't have done because of sin, but I felt the shame of wrongdoing that I didn't cause, and God's really lifted that from me. I'm going to share an insight into the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. This has just been a really awesome revelation to me. I just thought it might encourage you. So the three parables are linked together with that common theme of redemption and being lost, being found after being lost. And there was this real key for me in the parable of the lost coin. Like, it stood out as a bit of a misfit for me if you tie those parables together. Like, something lost, found, but a coin. Like a sheep has got a mind, maybe a small mind, and legs, you know, it can move and it can make decisions about where it goes, albeit limited, you know. And obviously so with the son, the prodigal son, you know, he's got his own mind, his own will, and he's made his own decisions. But a coin has no mind, it's got no will. I'm just trying to find my place. And it has no choice as to where it goes. It also has no voice. It can't call out and say, "I'm over here, come on, find me, I'm tucked under the couch here," or something like that, you know. It is a value, and it's totally at the mercy of whose hand it's in. So I was reading through a book, and it had the parables in this kind of imagery. So I just imagine with me the parable like this. Imagine the woman in that story of the parable of lost coin. Imagine that woman is Jesus. So the coin is her inheritance. So he spent his life growing his inheritance, which is us, and it's lost. And he searches and searches until he finds it, and there's just amazing joy because it's recovered. He knows where to search for us and where to search in us to the places that are lost, that have no voice. And he's done this for me. So he's removed my shame and continues to do so. And there's a radiance now about my life, and I reflect him. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. So verses 6 and 7 say, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." And I know that God is able to rescue us. He's always with us, and he rescues us. So back to my story. So my dad would come and visit us every birthday and Christmas, although my mum wouldn't let him in the house to see us. He'd call out to us and he'd leave presents. He was amazing. He did this for years. And I knew that my dad loved me. I just want to say, dads, whatever the situation, just keep being that dad to your kids. There's something about the nature of the role of a father as kids that is just so powerful. It just can't ever be underestimated. And I'm lucky that I knew this through my life and still do now, even in a limited way. My dad was my hero, and I hoped that one day he'd come for me and rescue me. I'd lie awake at night and try and remember what his face looked like. And because I didn't see him very often, it grew just dimmer in my memory, and I'd try and remember what his face was like. And I really hoped that he'd come and rescue me one day and take me away from the situation. Now, there was no mention of God in our home growing up. It was a godless home. It wasn't like an atheist home that was anti-God. There was no mention of God. I don't remember any kind of stories in the Bible or anything like that, or songs or anything from growing up. There was no influence there that I can remember. But for some reason, I don't know when it started, but I believed in God and I prayed. And this just kind of grew. I just prayed. I just prayed as a kid that God would save me and help me. I'm sure looking back that there must have been someone that was praying for me, like whether it was a teacher at school or one of the parents at school or somebody. And yeah, if I ever met that person, I'd just be so grateful. I just want to say, if you know kids or people that need help and you think there's something in their situation that's perhaps not good, pray. If that's all you do, pray. You just have no idea the power of your prayers in those situations. Our prayers are so powerful, yeah. And sometimes we just don't realise, yeah. So I used to have dreams as a kid when I was asleep. Just quite cool dreams. Basically one time I had this dream that I flew away from my mum and she couldn't reach me anymore. And it just really gave me real hope. And so I just continued to pray even more that my dad would come and rescue me. So in time, my mum met my stepdad and they married. He's a really nice guy, and this mellowed my mum somewhat, so things kind of settled a little bit more than they were, and they weren't quite as extreme. And also, my dad met and married my stepmum, so they kind of moved on with their separate relationships. My memories are, we don't have many photos of when we were kids, and my memories about when things happen are a bit kind of vague, so I'm just, it's just, yeah, I know it's not very, I can't give much many ages or anything like that. But I do know that one day when I was 12 by this time, me and my mum and my sisters went to the supermarket and we parked our car, and then the car right next to us was my dad and my stepmum, like just out of the blue. It was just totally random and unexpected situation. And anyway, following that, my sisters, they had a conversation, but we didn't really know what it was. But basically, my parents went up one night, and within 2 weeks, my twin sister and I had moved from there with my mum. We'd moved in to my dad and my stepmum's home. Amazing. Like, just like that. Just in one occasion, some random event happening. My prayers have been answered. It was amazing. Wow. And so this, for me, was a safe home. I moved into a safe home. My stepmom's lovely, really big-hearted, and it was just so great being able to live with my dad. It was quite a difficult time, like getting used to living with a totally different family. Things were hard because we moved across town, like at 12, and went to a new school and had to make totally new friends and all that kind of stuff. It was quite traumatic. And I actually had a breakdown over this time, and I had lots of anxiety for about a year. But it was good that my sister was with me, so I wasn't totally alone, but it was a hard time, even though it was good. Anyway, my dad was a Christian, and my dad and stepmom went to church. So my sister and I started going along to a youth group at the AOG Church in Hamilton. I went along and learned what the Bible was saying, and I believed it. And I knew in my conscience it was right, and I needed to be obedient. I became a Christian. So that's my story of how I became a Christian. Like, I didn't have a big spiritual experience of becoming a Christian. It wasn't some big, amazing, life-changing, fireworks going off and rockets, thing or whatever. You know, it was just quite humble and quiet, and it was just, for me, it was just a step of obedience. I learnt what Scripture was saying, and I knew my conscience that was right, so it was a point of obedience for me, you know. But then once I became a Christian, I started to understand about having a relationship with my Heavenly Father and with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus. And so for me, I could relate to a Heavenly Father because I'd had this role model in my father, and I was learning about the Holy Spirit. But it was a long journey for me in growing in relationship with Jesus, real relationship. I was afraid to let Jesus see me. I thought he didn't like me. And also, there's something challenging about revealing who we are to Jesus. He knows, like I know he knows already, but if we want to meet him and know him, we need to be open with him. I love C.S. Lewis, all their books, and the Chronicles of Narnia, and there's just that little line in the story from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Lucy asks of Aslan, "Is he safe?" And the beaver says, "Safe? Who says anything about safe? But he's good." And that's, I just love that kind of definition of Jesus. You know, that really, I really relate to that. And so I've been trying to define what my fear was about. I think in part it was shame. And the second thing I think that I knew if I met Jesus, that he'd challenge me. He challenges us. And so through my journey of knowing Jesus more and more, he challenges us like no other. He calls us to be true to ourselves, and he calls us to rise to our full selves. And this is in no way safe, especially with the survival patterns that I had chosen. It's when I read through the Gospels about Jesus and all the miracles that he's done, like healing the blind man and all these kind of physical miracles for people, often he asks a person, like, you know, Jesus heals the man blind from birth, and he says to him, "What do you want?" It's like, to me, it's like, really? The guy's blind. He's been blind since birth. Why are you asking him? But he's calling that man out to own the fact that he wants to see. And that's what Jesus has been like with me. Tash, what do you want, you know? And so, you know, I don't want self-pity. I don't want that, you know. I'm not a victim. And he's like, yeah, take that off. You don't need it. In me, you can overcome. So, yeah, it's been really awesome getting to know Jesus that way. Yeah, so there's been a few real keys for me in my journey. I'm coming up a Christian 30 years now, which is quite a long time. Yay, I know. Ooh, yeah. So it's a long time. And some real keys for me have been learning about and practicing forgiveness, and learning about my self-worth and having self-respect and having my identity restored. And I've read a lot of books over the time. I really like the writings of Dr. Henry Cloud. He's the co-author of Boundaries, but he also wrote a book earlier than that called Changes That Heal about all this kind of thing. So lots of that type of stuff. But over this long time of being a Christian, it's mainly been through being part of a church that's got a sense of community and just walking through my journey bit by bit, week by week, just being open to God and reading and meditating on his word and scriptures, and by receiving prayer just by ordinary people, you know, and of course the grace of God. I just want to encourage you. I don't know where we're all at, but sometimes it feels like we're in a hard place or a low place or in a really dark valley. But, you know, if we just, we just stay true to God and stay true to the course, he's so faithful and he's just doing new things all the time, and we just need to abide in him, like how Brenda was talking this morning. Over hers, yeah. Yeah, so verse 17 to 20 in Psalm 34. "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." You know, through my childhood, I haven't broken a single bone in my body. I haven't so much as needed a filling in any of my teeth. So that's like amazing. I think just amazing God's protection on my life, you know. So over time, my relationship with my mum has been restored. We actually went to Auckland together yesterday to celebrate my sister's birthday because it's the same day as mine. So, yeah, that was nice. Yeah, clearly. Yeah, two parties every year. Cool. So I just wanted to share through the journey of that as well, a little to wrap up. So at first when we moved away, we didn't see my mum for about a year, apart from kind of birthdays and Christmas. And then after this time, we spent more time together. And like one Christmas, I think I was in like my late 20s. I think it was Boxing Day. It was just my sisters and my mum and I together. And she just broke down to us and just shared her own like terrible story, you know. And it was just such a bonding time for us girls, and just, yeah, it was just a really neat kind of connection again, and just closure to some things, and it was a really precious time. And as an adult now, I can see a lot more clearly what was absent for my mum. She did the best she could with what she had, which wasn't much, you know. So just wanted to let you know that kind of ending the story as well. So I was telling you earlier about my middle name, which is Kay, which means rejoicer or merry heart. You go, Alana, apparently. Alana, I share a middle name. You. Well, my first name is Natasha, and I get called Tash quite often, or Tashish, or other names. it's actually Natasha. And Natasha means child of Christ. So in this totally godless home, ravished by brokenness, God sovereignly chose this name for me to ensure his seal was on me. Now, my birthday is the 24th of July, 2 days ago, and that's 24/7. This is so cheesy, but child of Christ, 24/7. Yes. just got to own that. It's real cheesy, but yeah. And as Brenda was saying this morning, like, he's Lord of my past, my present, and my future, always. So as we close, come to end now, I'm just going to read the first three verses of the psalm again. So, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So thanks, guys.